Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show Season 2 with your hosts Jeff Byboff and Jason Kilby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. Welcome to Season 2 of the Hardwater Fishing Show. Tonight we are talking about early ice, really talking about our first episode of Season 2 and getting started.
Hey Jeff, for our new listeners, why don't you tell them who you are?
Yeah, that's right. Awesome. It's been a while. I'm a bit rusty.
That's
at
okay.
This, right?
That's okay. Should I introduce you? So I'm Jason, and the fellow that did the lead in is Jeff. And we have started Hardwater Fishing Show last year. And so now we're on to Season 2. And it's currently the first week in November. So we're getting a jump start on where we were last year.
We are. And there's not any ice in Minnesota yet that I have seen. But I think it's coming. It's going to be cold this week. It's snowy. It's coming.
I had seen ice in northern Minnesota 2 weeks ago, but you wouldn't walk on it unless you're like a very skinny frog. So that's all I'm going to say about
awesome.
That.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, Jeff, what are you drinking tonight?
So, tonight I am drinking Oktoberfest Sierra Nevada. This beer was brewed in collaboration with the world's oldest brewery, which is called Wienerstoffen, I think.
This is too much information. It's a beer. Good Lord.
All right. We're going to crack this thing open. There we go.
I think they need to collaborate cheers. On the noise a little better. I can't say anything about it this week. I'm on call for work, so I'm having water. But hopefully not every episode corresponds with that particular duty, is my hope.
So Jason, water, or, I mean, are we talking from a glacier in a mountain lake in the, or where is this water
probably
coming
from? Probably from the river.
From the river? Which river?
What
river?
The Wapsipinicon River, I believe. I don't know. I think we have wells. I'm not sure. It comes out of my faucet. I'm not fancy about my water. It's water. Drink it.
But you didn't go down to the river, dip it in the river, and then take a swim.
No, the last time I put a boat on that river, I had to scrub the bottom of it. My canoe, I had to scrub the bottom with soap to get it off. So I'm not drinking it. Okay, we better move on.
We better move on. So remember to like or comment our show because it helps with our ratings. And you can pretty much get the Hardwater Show anywhere. I know you can get it on Alexa now because I have done it and it works.
Do they ask for the Hardwater Show or the Hardwater Fishing Show on Alexa?
I think it's the Hardwater Fishing Show. I'll have to do some more experimentation. I haven't played it for a while, but I'll have to try it out here. Maybe I'll record it and we'll put a little clip on the site.
Okay, sounds great.
So we have the hardwatershow.com webpage like we have in the past that actually gets a ton of traffic. I'm really excited at how many people want to learn about this stuff. I mean, we'll see 80, 90 unique visitors a day on it, which is pretty good, I guess. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take all of them. I mean, it's great. I know I'm always thinking about fishing and definitely ice fishing. So I'm sure there's other folks out there that in the middle of the hot summer thinking, man, I wish I was ice fishing right now. So,
and the other thing, we have something new. You can order Hardwater Show t-shirts, mugs, some other general swag stuff. So there's a link on the page. Otherwise, just hardwatershow.com/swag. So you can order your own t-shirt. And I put a picture of the t-shirt on the Facebook page. So you can see that there if you want to check it out.
That way in the summer when you're wishing you were fishing, you could wear the shirt and feel more one with ice fishing, right?
Right. And it's a new logo too. We got a new logo for Season 2. The first season was just, you know, HWFS. I mean, it was pretty basic, but we got a cool new logo this year. At least I think it's cool. So
I would agree. So it's well on the done. Shirt. Well done.
That is the state of the show 2018. And so we're moving on. We've covered beverages, I think, pretty thoroughly. Typically, this is where we talk about the fishing report, our podcast.
We don't have one.
No, there is no ice yet.
There is no ice. None. I was actually up in the Boundary Waters a couple weeks ago, and that's where I saw the ice on the frog pond. And we didn't get to fish. We were up there for 4 days, and it was so windy that we could never get the canoe out to go fishing hardly. So I have no fishing report, soft or hard water.
And if Jason won't go on the lake, then you can't get on the
white lake. Caps, canoes, 35 degree water. No, not doing it.
So was it you? Was it you saying, I would think we should try it, and other people going, you're crazy? Or were you actually going, no, I think I want to live another day, so I'm going to not go in the canoe? Well, we'll be honest.
If I could have found someone to go with, I probably would have gone. But I didn't. You hate to grudgingly drag someone to their death if they're not all in. So, you know, it is what it is.
That's awesome.
So speaking of death, right, are we going to talk about early ice stuff? Do you want to talk about that first?
Sure.
Or do we want to go through our season, kind of what we're looking at? Let's go through our season first, what we're looking at. Should we do that? Our show topics?
Let's go ahead and go to the topic. So for season two, I think we've come up with a lot of really cool stuff to check out. So the first episode that we're in, or episode zero almost, is we're going to be talking about early ice, which we're all really excited to get in the ice. And with that excitement comes dumb decisions at times. So we'll review some of the better decision-making information when first ice comes out. We have a bunch of other topics, Jason. What's some of your favorite topics that we've listed out here for season two?
Well, you know, there's a topic we're going to do called about reading your flasher and looking at, you know, when you're looking at your Vex, your Markham, your Hummingbird, whatever it is, really understanding and talking about what the different things mean. And we'll cover kind of those main three ones. But, you know, so often you just look at, okay, I know this little line's my bait and this little line's a fish, but what's the rest of it? And so we're going to talk about that. I'm really excited to dig into that.
And what's that thing somewhere between not a foot off the bottom and not the top of the ice?
Yeah. And what should I get excited about? And what's maybe just a minnow? You know, so just kind of talking about some of that. How many of you have actually read your owner's manuals on those things? I know I didn't. Right away.
Well, I mean, I look at the owner manual, I go, huh, interesting. And then yeah, I kind of check it and go, let's go fishing.
So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about, there's a topic, and actually I think the next show I'd like to talk about that is knots. Like, what knots do you tie for ice fishing? And, you know, and some of those standard ones you use when you're using bigger amount of filament or braid don't work as well with 2 pound test and that sort of thing. So we're going to dig into that.
Well, is that all you really need is 2 pound test, Jay? I mean, you don't really catch fish bigger than 2 pounds, right?
Well, you know, you can land a shark on 2 pound test if you do it right.
Oh, so it's about the skill of the operator. Absolutely.
Always about the skill of the operator, my friend. Always.
Okay. So you're saying you do occasionally catch a fish larger than 2 pounds?
Yeah, I've been known to do that. Yes. Not often as okay. I'd like, though.
Okay.
Let's see. What else we got? We're going to talk about your normal targeting, your different species, your walleyes, your northerns, your crappies, your panfish. Jeff, what are some of your favorite ones on there?
Well, something I've been thinking a lot about lately is Ice Castle. And when I say Ice Castle, I don't mean the brand. I mean maybe the lifestyle or the wheelhouse that you bring out there and drop on the ice. So I went ice fishing in one of these last year, and they're pretty nice. It's pretty comfy. And I think I can get other people to go fishing with me more if I have one. So I've been shopping.
I think you're getting soft in your old age, but I fully support it.
I mean, imagine you're ice fishing at the same time you're watching football, and you know you're warm, and maybe there's a pizza baking in your oven. I mean, it just seems right.
There's definitely an allure to that, but we're also going to talk about portable ice shacks and moving around and targeting your species, all the stuff that you can't do as well as when you're baking a pizza. But
that is true. That is true.
You know, I guess I could sit still for 15, 20 minutes while the pizza cooks. But other than that, I like to be moving around.
All right.
So, yeah,
we'll work on that.
we've got a heck of a season planned, and I think we learn a lot as throughout the season as we talk about different topics, and hopefully folks listening do too. So
I mean, we've got sketched out here. We've got at least 15 episodes, and last year we only got 11 in. So I think we'll exceed our last year's count and expectations. So I'm excited.
Awesome. So should we talk about our quick topic we're going to do?
It's early ice, like we were talking about, right? So what's the first thing? You drive by a pond in your neighborhood and you see that it is no longer liquid. I mean, that's usually the first sign. You know, I have a couple little ponds outside my house, and I'll go to work in the morning, and the first cold morning, and you see that it is no longer liquid. That's when the excitement gets really, really high.
And that, you know, also then you'll see on the message boards and you're talking to your buddies, it's like, how thick's the ice? How much ice is there? You know, and so it goes on and on and on. And there's even an app, I think, isn't there, that surfaced last year, Jeff, that you can mark like how thick the ice is?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's out there, and I was going to use it. I didn't actually use it because it seems like a good idea until you start paying attention to fishing instead of your apps. But yeah, it's out there.
Well, and so. I'd be a little hesitant to trust my life to what somebody put on a random app on the yes. internet, but you know, more power to whoever does that. But so Jeff, quiz time for
yes.
ice to be safe to walk on. How thick?
I usually go about 4 inches.
About 4 inches?
Four inches of good, solid, clear ice.
That's what your wife said. You might want to edit that out. That's up to you.
What? Oh, yeah. The wife part?
Yeah.
We'll see. So
that's what the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources does recommend for ice thickness is at least 4 inches thick. But it also needs to be good, clear ice, not white ice. So white ice has a lot of snow in it or a lot of oxygen in it. And so it's not as nearly as strong. So you really want to be careful that you're looking at 4 inches of clear ice.
The nice thing about when you're looking at the 4 inches, Jay, is typically I find as long as you don't get a big snowstorm or something around your freeze, if you get a couple of cold days when the lakes are ready to freeze up, I mean, that first ice is usually pretty solid, you know, unless it snows or something, then that's bad. But you know, usually that first ice is decent.
Yeah, and I would agree. The other thing I think on those first ice situations is you don't want to just assume because there's 4 inches in one spot, there's going to be 4 inches throughout. So you want to be really aware of where there's channels, right? Yep. Docks, where docks might still be in, around dead trees, down trees along the shoreline, because those will retain heat and cause ice not to get solid. So you want to kind of
Any moving water. You want to stay away from at 4 inches of ice.
You know, and if you're new to a lake, I think it's most people will readily share that information. Go to a local bait shop or ask another angler if they're, you know, local to the lake. Hey, where do I need to be careful of? And a lot of times people will definitely, you know, they're going to point you in the right direction because they don't want like the ambulances and all the rescue teams screwing up their fishing. So they're going to try to keep you safe.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, nobody really wants to share your fishing spot, right? Like, you know, hey, can you send me those GPS coordinates for where you caught all those fish? But if you go, hey, can you tell me where the ice is safe? They're going to tell you where the ice is safe and where it's not. But even if they do, still check it out yourself.
Yeah, make sure to kind of drill. Because, like, for example, you know, I'm a bigger guy, about 250 plus pounds once you throw all my crap on me for winter fishing. You know, I'm gonna need a little bit thicker ice than a guy that's like 150 pounds. I'm gonna want a little thicker ice, you know. So everybody has their own level of comfort with it, but at least 4 inches.
Yeah, at least 4 inches. And I will tell you, I mean, I have fished on 4 inches before. For me, it's a little breathtaking. I mean, because usually if it's 4 inches of clear ice, it doesn't look like much. I mean, 4 inches of ice is not a lot. You know, when you can see the fish swim and up to your hole and back down.
Yeah, that's...
It's a little It's a little freaky.
Yeah. So what do you do if you fall in? After you're done, screaming, what's next?
So you've fallen in. So usually, and there's a video on this. Have you seen that video,
Jason? No, I haven't.
The video?
I haven't.
So they did this test last year. I saw this where they jumped. They cut a hole in the ice, and they had a guy jump in, like a firefighter. They had crews there and stuff, but they actually showed him jump in, and the first thing he did was kind of calm himself down when he fell through the ice. Your body kind of freaks out, right? Because, I mean, it's like super cold. I mean, you're getting you panic, right? So the first thing he did was like let himself calm down. Like he kind of started breathing. I mean, it wasn't like for 10 minutes. We're talking like a minute or two, but just to kind of help that panic a little bit. So then once you did that, then the next thing they did was now you need to go to the edge of the ice and try to climb back out. And there's a key piece of equipment that you want to have for that, which are those ice spikes. Is that what they're called, ice spikes?
Yeah, the ice picks, and they sell those, or you can make them. There's some different things on the internet how to make them. But I think that's definitely a need of gear for this time of year. You know, you need to have them out, right? You need to have them where you can get to them, not like in your backpack.
Yes, they will not do you any good in your backpack if you're floating there in the cold, cold water.
And you need those even if you have on. Now they have this ice fishing gear that floats, which, you know, if you do a lot of early ice and a lot of exploration, maybe isn't a bad idea. But even if you're in the water, you still need to get out. So you're going to want to use those ice picks to try to drag yourself out. And it's harder than it seems.
Yeah, you can jab your, you know, so you would jab them into the ice and then pull your body out. And that's what I saw this video. It was pretty interesting. But I mean, that guy that jumped into that water, I mean, it took his breath away. I mean, it was crazy cold.
Yeah. So the thing you want to do is when you're in the water, when you get ready to try to get out, you want to put your arms, kind of do the Superman pose, right? You want to put your arms out on the edge of the ice, get your kind of your chin up on the ice, and use your picks to try to drag your body horizontally onto the ice. Because you don't want to do like where you're getting up on a ledge where you put your elbows down and try to bring your legs up over, because you're going to be too heavy to do that. Because you know, you're going to want to pull yourself kind of like horizontally out of the water and then roll away from the edge of that ice, and then hopefully then you got to figure out how to get dry and warm as soon as possible, obviously.
Right. And I think, you know, doing that too, instead of trying to put your knees up there, you kind of spread out the load, right? Because obviously you just fell through. So if you put all your weight on one small point, I mean, it's just going to keep on breaking. So, you know, laying out and stuff gives you that kind of.
Yeah. And really the most important thing here too is like when you're out fishing with a buddy, make him walk out first, and that way you don't go through. Just a little advice. Yeah. Little advice. But then you can recall this episode and say, hey, I listened to this podcast, and here's what you got to do. So you can walk him through. Because exactly. You being the one with the knowledge, you wouldn't want to be the one in the water while your buddy who hasn't listened to our show is standing there not knowing what to do. So it's better that he goes first.
If you do have a buddy, though, which I would always recommend an early ice. I mean, I think it's good anytime, but you know, having a buddy is important because then they can go get help for you. But, you know, bringing a rope is key too, right? Because then you can throw that rope to that person and kind of help them drag out without you also going in with them.
Yes, that's a really good suggestion.
Your uncle always brings that rope, even no matter what time of year. It's always on a snowmobile. You know, just in case.
Well, I think
something happens.
I mean, I think it's important to remember there is no safe ice. I mean, there's always a possibility with ice, no matter what time of year, that an opening happens and people can fall in. You get, you know, where the pressure ridges and stuff, where there ends up being open water in the middle of February and January. And so any time of year, you have to keep that in mind, I think, with when you're on the ice.
And even if it's a lake that you think you know, I mean, there's a lake that I fish quite a bit. And we had some really weird ice conditions last year where there's an early ice spot I really like. And typically that's got some thick ice, you know, because I mean, the way the wind blows and the way things freeze up, I mean, every lake is different, but it typically every year they kind of freeze in the same order, right? Well, last year, this spot that we would always fish early, for whatever reason, was still open, like, I would say into mid-ice. I mean, it was, you know, first of the year, and there was still open water in the spot that in past years we had fished, like, before Thanksgiving. I mean, and it's the same lake, you know? I mean, it's just the weather conditions did something weird.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know, as some of our longer-time listeners know, I live in Iowa, and we've had, a year, with just an incredible amount of rain this fall. And so our lakes are very high, our rivers are very high. And if those don't recede as things freeze, that's also going to really affect the quality of ice, because that lake may still be dropping as the winter progresses, which would create some really weird ice. So I don't know. Has it been pretty wet up there too, Jeff? Or?
Yeah, it's been pretty wet. I actually don't have good tabs on the river. I haven't done a lot of river fishing this year, but we're certainly not low. But yeah, I agree. The water level definitely can affect that. And then especially if you're talking about rivers, the flow rate too.
Yeah, definitely. And as where the tributaries or creeks come into the lakes, mm-hmm. you know, there may be some new ones because of the amount of rainfall we've had that wouldn't normally be flowing and creating some weaker ice along the shoreline. So just be safe out there. We love fish, but they're not worth dying for.
I love early ice for whatever reason. Fishing is better during the early ice. And if I would have had more time, I would have more research other than Jeff feels like fishing is good early ice. But certainly I found that to be true. So, but you still want it to be safe.
Yeah. So I don't know what else to say about this, Jeff. We should move on.
Okay.
We beat this.
4 inches.
We beat this horse to death. Don't fall in.
All right.
4 inches of ice.
Don't fall in.
Anything else is crazy. Make your buddy go first. That's the summary.
Yep. And there's nothing safe. All right. So for our legend, Jason, I have actually two kind of things for this. So this was a couple years ago. I was out fishing the weekend before Thanksgiving, which is not very far from now. And there was ice in the lake. And so we walked out. And what I do when it's really thin like that is you drill a hole and you walk, you know, a reasonable amount. We'll say 10 steps or 20 steps. And then you drill another hole because you never know how thick the ice is versus one spot versus another, right?
Sure.
So we get out and drill. I have my power auger because I don't know.
Because you're lazy. Move on.
Because I'm lazy. Yeah, I mean, because I'm lazy. So, you know, you fire it up. You get going. And in your last time you drilled a hole, it was like 3 feet of ice, right? Because it was in the middle of the winter when you drilled a hole last time and it was super thick. So I drill a hole and it goes, vroom, right? It's like instantaneously you're through the ice. And I'm like, well, that was interesting.
It's kind of a pucker yeah. moment. What time of year was this, Jeff?
This was the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So like 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now?
2 weeks from now, you're fishing. I hope we get to do that again.
We looked at it. It was actually about 4 inches of ice, but when you have a power auger and you go through 4 inches of ice, it does not feel very comforting. So that's my 4 inches of ice story. We did not go out very far. We did not go to where we wanted to go. We went just out a little bit and fished. And we did catch some pretty good fish, but the pucker factor was quite high on that day. But it was 4 inches of good ice, clear ice.
And you clearly didn't die because you're here talking.
I didn't die. I did have a sled with a rope and my picks, and we inched out, like I said, every 10, 20 steps to make sure we still had that 4. And it actually got thicker. We were actually in some of the thinner areas, and it got up to 6 or 8 inches.
Okay.
So yeah, it was pretty good. So that's my legend. I kind of have two legends tonight, though, Jay.
Okay, go on.
And this one, I feel like if I remind you of what the legend is, you'll be able to tell the story better than I can. So there was a time where we were at the Red Shed, and this was not early ice. This was January because we wouldn't be at the Red Shed early ice. It was a pretty wet day and we had drilled some holes, like a lot of holes that didn't freeze over. And what happens when you have lots of holes that don't freeze over
you fish for a couple days? Through them. So we had a gauntlet. I remember this year. Can I tell the story?
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
We also had a lot of snow on the ice that year, and we were running snowmobiles up. If I'm going the wrong direction on the story, let me know. We were running snowmobiles up and down from the cabin down to the lake. And so we had a canal going, right? We had about, there's probably a foot and a half, 2 feet of snow on the ice, and then water where our canal was. And then the path up to the cabin. So you're kind of walking through the canal going up to the cabin. And Jeff put his foot through. And how does a size 13 foot go through an 8-inch hole? I'll never know, but it does.
They do, and they go up to your thigh, not just like your foot, but all the way.
Yeah, up. I don't know how he does it, but he does it in pretty regular fashion. So he goes up to the cabin, switches boots or whatever, dries himself out, walks back down, and proceeds to put the other foot right through a different hole.
Yes.
Good times.
That did happen. Yes.
Hey, we're going to mention too to everybody, if you have a classic story or legend that you think is just a great time, feel free to send it to us, and we'll feature you on one of our podcasts. We have a lot of stories, but at some point we're going to run out, and as we're getting older, we're not quite making them at the same rate we did when we were younger. So
well, and you know what happens, Jason, is when you get older and you've told all your stories, you tell them again, but you don't remember that you told them already. And then people just listen and go, gosh, I've heard this one already.
The trouble is this is recorded. So there'll be evidence we've told it and how we've told it. And yeah. So yeah, feel free to send it to us. If you can, you want to email it, we can read it on our podcast. If you've got a good way to record it and you can send us a quality recording, a couple of minute story, 3-4 minute story, we'd be happy to even to share that and obviously give you credit for sharing it. So,
Right. And we can even give a Hardwater sticker now. We have stickers, so we can get some stickers out to you.
Does that cost us anything to give them a sticker? It's going to have to be a really good story to get a sticker. I'm just saying.
It does cost us something, yes. And currently this podcast is fully funded by us. So yes, it does cost us something. So.
Okay. But if we really laugh and it's a really good story, we'll figure something out for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Well, Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited. Season 2, first one, ready to go. Can't wait to see what the season holds.
It's going to be awesome. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight, and we look forward to talking with you all season long.